running down the town square naked, going, ah, hire me, ah, look at me, I'm a doctor, ah, 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 look at my headshots. Bah, 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 bah. This is the Bi-Coastal Actor, a podcast about being an actor in Los Angeles or Atlanta. I am Jeff Holbrook, and with me this week and every week is Ben Austin. I'm in Atlanta, and Ben is in L.A. This show is created by Polar Studios, and you can find more shows just like this one over at polarpodcasts.com. Here we are, Benjamin. The season finale.
Bum, bum, bum.
Final episode until it's not.
The podcasts, the other podcasts, I'm sorry, I just checked in for a minute. The other podcasts are not just like this one. There are different topics, right?
That's right. I should mention that we're trying to start a podcast network here. And
ain't no trying about it, yo.
That's true. We are in progress, actually. We're merrily rolling along, starting our podcast network, actually. It's really started with Art Technique like a year ago, and then Bi-Coastal Actors kicked off sort of the first wave of new shows. Mm. But coming up, we've got a show about gaming. It's going to be a three-host show, and that's going to be weekly for a year.
Did you say about gaming?
About gaming, yeah, about video games and the game industry and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, we've got a show with a focus on stand-up comics that's also going to be running weekly for a year.
Nice.
We've got a little satire news show that'll be going kind of like Bi-Coastal for about five episodes or so.
Sad tires.
We've got a late-night show that we're going to do for like five or six episodes. And we've got a contest, actually, that's going on for to find a fifth host for for a freelancer video show, all of which I'll announce the titles, all that stuff later, and when, you know, when they're coming out and who all's involved. But we've got a lot of stuff coming. Let me pull up, since we're talking about it, let me pull up what we've been discussing. The show's going to be called State of Play. And it's going to be produced by, well, it's produced by Polar, but the guy who's kind of doing the creative side of this right now is BK Jackson.
BK.
Hey, BK. And it's a cool idea. It's four guys who are video professionals and freelancers and photographers and stuff sitting around a poker table talking about the freelance lifestyle and what you've got to do to succeed and sharing ideas about getting ahead while playing poker.
I cannot wait to watch and listen to that. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So that's spring 2014. We got a bunch of stuff coming in March. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of shows. I love to talk about them. But you know what? I would just say go to polarpodcast.com and, you know, if you don't like this show, well, I'm amazed that you're still listening six episodes in, number one. If you don't like this show for whatever reason, you're just torturing yourself listening to it, go to polarpodcast.com. And like I say, find something that you do like. And if it's not there yet, just keep going back to polarpodcast.com because eventually something you do like is going to show up because we're pretty much making a show about everything. Well, so I'm
and this actually,
excited.
Maybe this tags into what our sixth podcast, our sixth episode for this podcast
yeah.
is about, which is we're kind of recovering listener questions.
Yeah, I'm excited. We've got feedback. Our first big batch of listener questions.
So let me ask you something real quick. Before we jump into that,
yeah,
how do we get feedback? And can they give us feedback? Can our listeners give us feedback on what kinds of podcasts and programming they'd like to hear?
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, heck yeah. All you got to do is send an email to polarstudios@gmail.com. But also, if you go to polarstudios.net, there should be a feedback form right there. Polarpodcast.com, there should be a feedback form. If none of these things exist, I will promise that they will exist by the time this airs. You can go to our Facebook page at Polar Studios, not the one in Sweden, the one here
in America. That one's not ours. Not yet.
Not yet. I keep emailing them and trying to get a hold of them, and they don't return my calls because they're not in Swedish.
You should maybe make a friend with a Swede. And
I try. I'm like, borky, borky, dorky, borky, borky, give me dirty, borky, borky, and they don't ever, they just give me a dirty look.
You're lucky that's all that they give you.
Before we move on to our listener questions, a little bit of follow-up. Ben, what's been going on with you that has advocated or moved forward your acting? What's been going on with you? Here we go again. Mm-hmm. Three, two, one. Ben, what has been going on in your life that has furthered your acting career? Edit point.
What has been going on in my life that has furthered my acting career? There's lots of different things. So I'm just going to pick probably the most direct thing. I have been talking to people about how to market myself better. And I've been coming up with a plan for that. An image plan and all that sort of stuff. It sounds very, it's interesting. It sounds a little pretentious to me when I say it out loud because I don't like to think of myself. I like to think of myself as a human being, not as a company. But the thing is, I was listening to a book. I like audiobooks because I can, it allows me to read while I drive. I know that that's a horrible thing to do and I'll probably get arrested someday, but I really don't think so. I think it's great. So I've been listening to The War of Art, read by one of my favorite voiceover actors, actually, George Goodell, and written by Stephen Pressman, who wrote Bagger Vance, The Legend of Bagger Vance, and who has been a screenwriter and a novelist. And that book kind of, it was suggested to me by one of our podcasters, actually, for Art Technique 2-3 years ago. And I put it on my list, and I actually purchased the audiobook, never listened to it. Now I've listened to it, and I'm going to listen to it at least once a week for the rest of my life.
Because I should make a note, that podcaster was Aaron Gottlieb. Shameless plug for Aaron Gottlieb, who's living in Italy. Go on. That book has changed your life. Because
living in Italy and doing Commedia dell'arte, yeah?
Yeah.
So that book has changed my life, actually, because now I can – look at what I do as a business, but not think of it, not leaving the creative behind, not leaving the art behind. And it's really a matter of perspective. It was a paradigm shift for me. And I suggest that everyone who considers themselves a creative go read that book or listen to it on the audio version. Because
you clearly like podcasts.
Mm-hmm, yes, you like to listen to other people speak into your ear. So that's one thing that I am doing is I'm thinking myself as a business, a corporation. I am now going to think in terms of hiring myself. I have a corporation that will hire me, the actor, to do jobs. And that sort of opened my mind to the idea that I can be producing things and hire myself as an actor, hire myself as a writer, hire myself as a story consultant. And it allows me to sort of compartmentalize these business versus art. And the irony is compartmentalizing them in that way allows me to marry them in a way that makes sense to me. So there's that. In a very real way, I am in a play. And promoting that play, I've tweeted about that play. And I actually got picked up by a group online that does, I think it's LA Update, followed me and retweeted. They've got like 24,000 listeners or something like that, or followers. So that's great. They retweeted something of mine. That's a big deal for me. So advocating for myself in a very business-oriented way and promoting myself as an actor. And not thinking that that's too pretentious, but really seeing it as my responsibility as a corporation to get, and I'm not incorporated, but that's how I'm starting to think. So someday I can be incorporated. And when I say, you know, Ben Austin LLC or whatever form it takes, that's a legit thing. The groundwork of the philosophy and the mindset's already there. It's just a matter of making it a legal, taxable entity. Oy vey, right? Anyway, opinions and eyebrows. Everyone's got...
Opinions are like hand grenades. Throw them and run. So we've got our first batch of listener questions, and that's super exciting. Actually, this whole lot that we're going to do today comes from Nolan Martin. He's an actor coming to the Atlanta area. You can find out more about Nolan if you're interested at Nolan, N-O-L-A-N, dash Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, .com. Link to what he's up to over there on his nice little website. I'm just going to go down the list, Benjamin. Okay, Nolan's first question is this. He says, as far as networking goes, how do you find the classes to network? I come from a mostly theater background, so I'm used to cattle calls and workshops and SET and stuff. Is there a place to find classes in Atlanta? And I think you and I both know a few places.
Yes.
I'd recommend Your Act over at youract.tv. I enjoyed them. I liked it. Was a pretty practical approach with Della, and I think there's some changes kind of going on there, but it's a very cool place to be. Also, there are a lot of auditions held at Your Act by casting companies, so it's just good to get familiar with it.
Those folks have been doing what they do and are professionals, professional actors, performers, voiceover actors. They've been doing what they do for many years now. Gosh, that sounds horrible. If they hear this, you're going to be that little bastard. He's calling us old. No, it's just their cumulative knowledge and experience. They've been in Atlanta. They've been associated with L.A., and I think some of them have actually been in L.A. So they know both markets pretty well, and they've been doing what they do and have been connected to that community, to the entertainment community, TV, film, and theater in Atlanta for years now. So go, draw on their experience and their knowledge. And they're connected to, quite literally, the building is connected to Sketchworks Theater, which is a sketch comedy theater. And that's one of the places that I went through. I took classes there, but I also did the Sketchworks workshop, which is a fantastic way to meet people. It's a fantastic way to get reacquainted with theater if you've been away from it for a little while, and to sort of find that middle place between improv and traditional theater. Sketch comedy has a little bit of both of those aspects. So, and that is actually how I got acquainted with a lot of the people that that I worked with in Atlanta, both in live theater and TV and film. I actually met one of my agents in Atlanta there, one of my former agents. And so, yeah, that's definitely a concrete place to go and check out in Atlanta. You can also, if you're looking to get into film and TV, go check out the Atlanta Film Fest, because it's local people putting that up, and they are all involved in the entertainment industry in Atlanta, both theater, film, and television. So definitely check that out. Go market yourself. Go network. And when I say network and market yourself, I mean go show up, be a decent human being, and make some friends, make some acquaintances, be interested.
Yeah, go see that episode we did about networking. Yeah, see?
Yeah. Jeff... What other little bits, tidbits of suggestion and info do you have off the top of your head?
As far as classes and stuff?
Mm-hmm. I would say this may work the same way in Atlanta as it works in L.A. I think it probably does. Find out. I don't know, Jeff. Tell me. Are there a lot of casting director workshops or agent workshops, classes, things like that in Atlanta? I know that Your Act does an occasional one, but I think that they bring in people. They bring in Margie Haber from L.A. I don't know if they do any others.
I can't speak to quantity because I can't compare to how many happen where you are. I don't know how many happen. I'm sure there's a lot. Here, I know they happen. I hear about them mostly when I am, you know, at those places, at the schools. And sometimes on certain mailing lists that I'm on. I will say that I know Sally Neal will do a voiceover workshop sometimes over at Your Act. And I know that casting directors do workshops here from time to time. It's just a matter of keeping your eyes open and finding them. I don't imagine it's as many as happen in L.A., but
I think you've got to suggest
they're probably very important because there are fewer casting directors here.
Well, you've got a very, very tight community there. I'm pretty sure you can go to any casting director workshop or any kind of workshop there in Atlanta, and whoever's running it, whoever's leading it, if they're from Atlanta, they're going to know the people running all the other ones. So go there, meet them, and then say to them afterwards, during whatever, hey, I have these interests. I'm interested in these aspects. Can you recommend a workshop for me? Do you know who's doing a workshop for voiceover? Do you know who's doing a workshop for commercial auditions, workshop for theatrical auditions? Theatrical, when I say theatrical, I mean television and film. Do you know who's doing a workshop for character work, scene study, so on and so forth? They'll most likely be able to steer you in the right place. So I think a short answer is start somewhere and then ask a lot of questions and talk to people.
And I'd say a specific answer is start at your act, because that was the first place I took classes in town. And you just get there and you take a class, because they do lots of like drop-in kind of stuff where you can just take short classes, you know, whatever, that work into your schedule, and then talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Find out who's going to what. Find out who's going where.
And that's
Your act is a good place to start, in my opinion.
That's almost the exact same thing I did. I actually started with Sketchworks, which is quite literally connected to Your Act. They share the same building, and a lot of the same people work with both companies. So
there we go.
Yeah. I would say real quick, because this is Atlanta and LA, I'm gonna try to rush through. The question was directed towards Atlanta, but here's what
I
would
say. Let's talk about
briefly.
Los Angeles. Let's talk about this magical land of yoga pants and rice bowls.
Inside of yoga pants. Magical rice bowls and yoga pants.
Let's get out.
Jeff.
Away.
You have a very interesting opinion of what this city is.
Let's stick to questions.
So, aside from the rice bowls and the yoga pants, LA has a lot of workshops. And I mean a lot. Every week there's a casting director workshop. There's an agent workshop. There's a manager workshop. And they go under different names. The workshop showcases, so on and so forth. They are all pretty much some form of class or networking event where you're going to get to pick the brain of some industry professionals. I would not look at them as ways to get discovered. I would look at them as ways to hone your craft and learn something new, and to meet some other people who work in your field and who also want to learn and also want to meet people in their field. So here's a quick sort of, you can go back and listen to this on the podcast to get all the steps, but here's what I would suggest. Get on IMDb Pro, find the person who's casting the TV show or the movies that you want to be cast in. Find that casting director, look them up, find out who their casting associates are. Find what workshops those casting associates are leading. Now, you can, of course, go straight to the casting director's workshops, but they're not going to have as many workshops, and they're going to be larger workshops, and they're usually going to cost a little bit more. I'd say go for casting associates. Those casting associates someday are going to be the head casting directors. And those casting associates are going to be the people going through all the headshots. Those casting associates are the people who are actually doing a lot of the groundwork before the casting director will get to see you. So you want to be a familiar face to them. You want to know what kind of work they're doing, and you want them to know what kind of work you're doing. So don't poo-poo the casting associate. Learn to love the casting associate. Go to their workshops and see what they're about. But start with the ones that you would like, the shows that you would like to be on, the movies that you would like to be in. Because very often I've found that in my personal experience, what I found is that Joss Whedon works with certain casting directors, and those casting directors work on certain movies. All the Marvel movies are being cast by exactly one casting director, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. Go do your own homework. So that one casting director is casting all of the Marvel movies, also associated with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I want to be in every Marvel movie there is, and I want to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I look her up. I find out who her casting associates are. I find out, and this is easy. This is what the internet was made for. That's what the Google search, the Yahoo search, the whatever search bar is for. Enter their name, and then enter workshops. And then if you want to skip through a bunch of crap, enter the date or enter the year, 2014. Then go comb through the results and find out when the next workshop is. Go to that workshop. That's, for me, that's the fast and dirty way to...
That's nice, Ben, but where's the Get Discovered class, man? I need the fast track, buddy. I'm going to be on a Marvel movie tomorrow. Tomorrow.
You know, that's...
Okay?
That's really interesting. That actually segues into question number two.
I don't need your IBGB pro.
Question number two from Nathan is... I know film... Nolan Martin. I know film is super different from theater, but how exactly would I break into film from the theater world? How difficult is that? I would caution that you shouldn't think of it as breaking in. It's not a matter of breaking and entering. It's a matter of doing the work, and then you belong there. You don't have to break in. So start with that mindset. And after that, really focus on, for me, all of this comes down to focusing on where you want to go. Get that end goal in sight. Again, I want to be in Marvel movies. I want to play quirky characters in superhero movies, right? So I'm going to find out who these casting directors are. I'm going to find out what they like. I happen to know that the casting director for all the Marvel movies has a theater background. Then I'm going to find out exactly what kind of theater she likes. Then I'm going to see what kind of productions and what kind of theater companies are doing those plays here in my city, in LA. You should do the same in Atlanta. You should find out who these people are, how they're connected to what theaters, right? And then go frequent those plays. Try to get into those theater companies, audition for those plays and those productions. It's not about breaking in. It's about doing your homework and then working yourself into the regular lineup of actors and professionals that are in the arena, in the field that you want to work in.
I got to say, if you're going to do that, also keep in mind the event itself. Don't go and be a creeper and don't go see the play for the sole reason of I've got to go connect with this person. Go enjoy the play as well.
Yeah.
Go enjoy the play. Go enjoy the workshop. If you, in my opinion, in this weird little Zen meditation, whatever brain state that I like, if you go without expectation, things work out a lot better. You know, I'm going to go see this play. I know I did all my homework. I know who's associated with it as far as kind of stuff that, Ben, that you're talking about. But then you walk in the door and you let all that go and you just go see the play, because then you can just be you and genuine and you're not tense and strange and in work mode and a weird person to talk to.
I think, yes, absolutely, Jeff. I agree 100%. But I also think for me, it's a little strange to me that anyone would stalk in that way. I found that the people that I want to work with and work for like a lot of the same things that I like. And so it's not a struggle for me. You know, a lot of the people that I want to work with like Shakespeare, like fantasy, like fiction, science fiction. So it's very, and I guess I don't think like a stalker. So when I,
right. But if you go back and you listen to what you just said, you're like, look up this person, find what they do, go here, find what plays they do, go to those plays. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess it could sound a little stalkery, but
it's not. But I see what you're saying. But I'm saying,
well, I think,
yeah, don't get so wrapped up in
it. I bring it all up like that is that it's very easy in doing what we do to feel like you are insignificant, to feel like you have no place, and to get lost in the big scope of everything that's going on. And I find that these are ways to sort of get a little perspective. To say, okay, I need a focal point. How do I find that focal point? Well, I'll start with what I like. I like Marvel movies. Great. Who's making Marvel movies? Who are the people who like what I like and are producing what I like? Great. Now, how do I get connected to them? How do I find out how they did what they did? People do interviews and articles and workshops because they want to reach out. They want to if you're doing a workshop, you're not doing it because you're a recluse and you want people to leave you alone, generally. You're doing it because you want to provide some sort of assistance. You want to give back a little bit. You want to say, hey, here's how I did it. Here's some advice. That's why I think it's perfectly legitimate to find out who's producing the things that you like and then go to their workshops.
And then go to their house.
No, Jeff, don't go to their house.
With a trek dart for the guard and some steaks for the dogs. And I'm failing here. What else should I bring?
Probably
body armor.
Wire
body
clippers. Armor. Tin snips.
Wire clippers. Jeans that you feel comfortable scaling a fence in.
They need to be dark, though. Very dark. Because you're going to go at night. Don't go during the middle of the day.
Yeah. Duh.
You want to get them while they're there, not while they're out.
Yeah, duh.
Duh.
Very good, Benjamin. We sound very intelligent. All right. You know, at first I didn't have really an answer for Nolan's second question because I was thinking about it and I was like, how the heck was I doing stuff before I got the agent? And then I realized I'm a moron because I was doing all kinds of stuff before I got my agent. And if I wasn't, I would never have gotten signed. Since I'm going to speak back to Atlanta now,
mm-hmm.
since we're in the region that we're in, and I know that Nolan is familiar with the town of Columbus, as Ben, I know you are familiar with that,
mm-hmm.
that town as well. There are opportunities in the Southeast to get experience if you don't have any doing film and TV that are not workshops. My favorite of which is if you go down to FSU in Tallahassee, which is only a 3-hour drive from Columbus, and I don't know how much from Atlanta.
I have such a wonderful story, but I'm going to just remember it's directly related to what you're talking about.
Got it.
Okay, go.
Got it. File it away. Go down to Tallahassee and audition for their film program, not as to enroll as a film student, but I mean go audition for the movies and the projects that the film students are creating there.
Because they need actors.
They need actors, but you know, a lot of places need actors, but not many places in my experience are going to have the caliber of production that the FSU film students have. Like you go, a lot of times you're put up in a hotel if you're from out of town. The shoot is always a good experience. You're professionally treated, and the students are competent at what they're doing. Yes, they're students and they're learning, but I've had consistently good experiences with them, and as long as you can get a hold of the footage, I've gotten quality footage for them that I ended up using to assemble my reel that I submitted to the people who eventually became my agent.
Yeah.
So it's part of making your own work in a way. Go find it. Go find who's shooting, who will let you in. They're not going to pay you. That's not the point right now. Point is to get good at being on camera, and the point is to get good footage for your reel. Not just footage, good footage.
There's
you being a character.
Yeah, there's a question here. There's a question here that hasn't been asked on and that is, well, how do I get a reel? That'll be next. Don't worry. Someone's going to ask that question. And the answer is that. Do things like what Jeff has just suggested. Find out which colleges and universities have the programs that are doing comprehensive film studies as well as practical film studies. They're going out. They're learning about film, but they're also going out and they're doing it. So – FSU is definitely one. Over here, there's just so many film schools. You can just throw a rock and you'll hit one. Go do these student films. Try to do the senior ones because they've learned a few things at that point and they want to do a full production. They usually have to do some sort of feature. If not a full feature, then they're going to be doing a 15 or a 20 minute or something like that. And that's how you get real footage, folks. You're not having to pay for it. It's that which came first, the chicken or the egg. How do I get footage if I don't have any footage? How do I get into a movie if I don't have a reel? You go and you find the people who are working at a level where they need your talent. They may not be able to pay you, but they can give you good quality footage at the end of the day.
And not everything you shoot has to go into your reel. If you shoot something and the project turns out awful, we're crying out loud, don't put it on your reel.
You don't want to send somebody something that looks awful. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it was a wasted experience. Anytime you get to get in front of a camera and you get to practice, especially as a stage actor, although I would question thinking of these things as too much of a distinction, but especially if you're just not used to what it is to be in front of a camera, anytime you can go do that is not wasted time, in my opinion.
Yeah. To grossly oversimplify, the difference I found between stage acting and film acting is about scale and volume. So, you know, just think in those terms. But that's another
podcast.
That
was gross and oversimplified.
It was. I almost vomited in my own mouth while I was saying it. But I
edit point. Cut that out, Jeffrey. Cut it out. Cut it out. Get us out of here. Okay. So if we answer that question, you have a story.
Yeah. Story time. FSU, right? So I did what Jeff did. I went down to FSU and filmed some student films, and it was great.
One time we went together.
Yes, we did. More than once. We've been down there a couple of times together, and it's been fantastic. Stories for another podcast.
Stories for not
not for
podcasts.
Publication. Yeah, we don't
come find us in person.
So anyways, those stories are not to be aired ever. So so we went and did our movies. Well, I worked a couple of times. I've been down to FSU. I've been down to Tallahassee a few times on a few different projects. I moved out here to LA and immediately started working with some of the seniors that had just graduated from FSU that I had worked with at Tallahassee. And that was great. That was fantastic. And I kind of, you know, thought, oh, that's a fantastic sort of like wonderful little association. Great. Good stories. Here's the funny thing. I'm in a play and I've been rehearsing this play for weeks and weeks and weeks now. Found out yesterday getting coffee with one of the people in that play that she is actually associated with these same people. These same people were at her house for Super Bowl. She's friends with them. She knows them all of these people. We start naming names and we know all of them. She's like, oh, so you know Katie Mackley? Oh yeah, you know Joe Hagman? Yeah. Oh, you know Adam Rockefeller? Yeah. We just went on and on and on. And so I'm out here completely randomly in a play with someone who has worked with the same people I have worked with, who are up and coming movie makers. We're already connected. So anytime you go out and you strive to do your best and you strive to meet other people who are doing their best and you get connected, that's going to reverberate throughout your life. I guarantee it. It's just going to keep happening. You're going to run into these people again. So that's how I think you go about, quote unquote, breaking into.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's move on to question number three, since we're a little bit into the show here. I bet we can get all five into this show. I'm going to rephrase his question just a little bit. As far as agents go, when should I get one? And are mass mail outs still okay? So at what point in his career should he get an agent? And are mass mailings still a thing? My version of this is pretty short. When should I get an agent? As soon as you can. If you're serious about this and want to make money, you're not going to get the primo parts. You're not even going to get the bottom parts that pay that are going to move you forward without an agent. So get one as soon as you can. Are mass mailouts okay? I did my agency submissions as not a mass mailout, but I targeted like six agencies. Wrote a specific cover letter for each one indicating that I'd actually like done research about the agency and, you know, listed something, you know, unique about them and submitted. 1 year later, from the only batch of submissions that I did with my lazy self, 1 year later, I got a call from AMT because they were restructuring. Their agency had the new owners had just purchased the agency and they said, we were cleaning house and we were rifling through a bunch of old submissions and we'd like to call you in for an interview. And that eventually is what led to me getting signed. So just because you don't hear back, don't be like a moron like I am and not and stop submitting, you know, keep submitting. And to be fair to myself, I was about to submit again anyway, but you never know who they're looking for or what's going to happen. So submit. But I don't think there's any way that you can intelligently submit to 100 agents at once, as opposed to submitting to like 10 or a dozen with a focused cover letter where you actually understand who it is you think you're submitting to, is my opinion.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I wouldn't alter what you said very much. I'm experimenting right now with not having an agent, not having representation. It's something I want to try. And I do have a goal of getting representation. But what I want to avoid is – and here's how I would alter what Jeff has just said. I wouldn't say as soon as possible, simply because you and this may be a – I don't know in Atlanta how much this is a factor. But in LA, again, you can throw a rock and hit an agent or hit a manager, and most likely you're not going to hit a good one. I know maybe I probably just eliminated myself from the rosters of most of them, and that's fine with me. Thank you.
You don't want them if they're like that.
Well, there's a lot of people that call themselves managers or call themselves agents, and they may or may not be licensed. Right. And they're going to put you in their hip pocket. They're going to keep you on the back burner. You know, they'll send you on these mass submissions for things that you're not really going to see much money or much recognition from, and it may not be you at all. You know, they may have 500 people that they submit on a regular basis on various projects because they want to cover as many bases as possible. They just want to like shotgun scatter submissions in hopes that someone in their catalog is going to get picked. Is going to get called in, and then they'll make a little percentage on that. They're playing a numbers game. Don't you play a numbers game. Don't do it. Don't do mass mailings. Don't play a numbers game. Do exactly what Jeff has said. If you're going for an agent or a manager, you need to do your homework. You need to figure out who you want to work with. And don't, I would say, don't approach them with hat in hand. Don't approach them begging. Don't approach them as if you are insignificant. Go into it thinking, well, I have something to offer. Who's going to want what I have to offer? There's a lot of different ways to look at this, and I think that this question can be an entire podcast in and of itself. And I think it should be. I think we should talk about this further in another podcast. But do your homework. Figure out who you want to work with. And then, yeah, target those people. Not those people. Man, I sound like a total stalker,
See, isn't that weird how quickly that starts to happen? But yeah. You've got to have the mindset. I mean, that's
just the language that I'm using
that I said earlier. Yeah, it's hard. It's easy to fall into that marketing kind of speak or
whatever.
Which
is very aggressive.
But you're right. Yeah. You've got to be smart about what you're doing because you're trying to be to be intelligent about. You're trying to develop a process.
If you become the guy who just sends his headshots out to 100 different agents. Every month, you're going to be the guy that they all talk about, and not in a good way. If you're the girl who is constantly calling up and pestering people, you're not going to get on anybody's roster. You're not going to be in anyone's good graces. So you don't want to be inconsiderate. You don't want to be mindless. And the way that you're submitting yourself, you want to be very focused in how you're submitting yourself, how you're representing yourself, because that's the kind of person that these professionals at the highest level are going to want to represent. They know that you're already taking responsibility for that. You already know what you're doing and why you're doing it. So half of their job is done. Then all they really need to do is take care of all the sort of technical legal stuff and help you access your greatest potential with casting directors and projects.
I think one could be equated to going in the local neighborhood cul-de-sac with your briefcase and papers and knocking on the doors and politely offering your services. And the other could be equated to running down the town square naked going, ah, hire me, ah, look at me, I'm an actor, ah, yeah, ah, look at my headshots, blah, 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 blah.
How many times, I don't know if this happens as much in Atlanta.
Three. I've done that three times in my life.
Three times?
Yeah.
Jeff.
What?
When are you going to learn?
That's when I went to targeted mailings after that. I learned that didn't work.
That's all it took. That's all it took.
I think you hit on a really important thing, which was in LA, there's just a lot more of everything, which you said a lot which you said a lot in the past. And that makes me think that in that sense, maybe not having an agent and, you know, getting a manager or doing your own thing has some merit. And here in Atlanta, there are just fewer, there are fewer agencies to the point where it is physically possible and feasible for you to submit to all of them.
Yeah.
And do it in a way that doesn't make you crazy.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. In Atlanta, it is completely possible to submit to all the major ones. Absolutely. And really, you probably should, since there's not a whole lot of them.
But you still need to know who they are and what they do and who they cast with and just ask people.
I would say, this is me. Take the time to research each one of them and find out. I'm not saying you have to do this, but find out if you should. Write a separate cover letter for each one. And I've got...
I think you should. I think you should. It's just like every other job thing. You should
and
write a separate cover letter for each
one. I mean, for me, that's what I would do. For other people, maybe you don't want to do that. And okay,
yeah,
fine.
Stupid people.
And another like 15 people just stopped listening to this podcast.
15 people started listening? Wait a minute.
There's at least 15, right? There's 15.
Yeah, there's at
my
least 15.
Mom just
we're doing
stopped
fine.
Listening.
Our number. I don't want to talk about the metrics on the show, but we're doing fine. But yeah, I think you should.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Separate.
Let's go to the next question, because I think we should do
next,
a whole other episode
on this
specific topic.
Next question.
Should I focus on a particular type, and I'm using air quotes, type, or is that something an agent would decide? Nobody decides your type. No human decides your type. You have a type. It's like nobody decides the shape of your head. Your head is the shape that it is. So don't worry about...
No one's handing out type cards saying, you are this.
Right. You've got a type. Now, maybe some people have a very specific type and some people have a very general type. And that's, you know, that's getting into specifics. But if you have a type, if you have a very specific type, odds are you already know it. And if you don't know what your type is, do a little research. I would say if you don't know what your type is, if you're in Atlanta or L.A., go to Sam Christensen Studios, samchristensen.com. Go to that website and check into the next workshop you can, the image workshop, the image class. Because if you're worried about your type, this is just me from personal experience. I took that class and now I understand so much more about what I should be thinking, what helps me, what's beneficial for me in terms of type, as opposed to what hurts me. So go check that out. That's going to be my blanket statement for figuring out type. There's a professional out there. He does workshops in Atlanta and LA. He's a fantastic human being. You should take his workshop and his classes. His name's Sam Christensen. And we'll put a link on here on the website so you can find it.
Final question from Nolan Martin. You can find his website at nolan-martin.com.
Certainly
five.
Not at Nathan Martin.
That's okay. I'll cut that out. I won't cut that
He's
out.
He's not going to cut
Number
it
five.
Out.
I'm not. Nolan asks, I have heard if you do too much extra work, you get labeled as an extra and cannot progress any further. Is that true?
Yes. No. No and yes.
Which one is it, Benjamin?
It's both.
I wonder if it's different for different markets. I have no idea.
It's different for different people, Jeff. It's different for everybody.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I was watching.
Because you've done both, right?
Yeah,
I've done both.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know many people who have done both, many people who I respect. Jack Black, what movie is it? I think it's Monkey Bone or something. I think it's Monkey Bone. Some movie that what was it? The lead character goes down to hell, is in hell, and there's like a bunch of background people standing directly behind the main character, and then there's a caveman or something like that, some Neanderthal looking, like maybe a pirate. It's Jack Black. It's freaking Jack Black. He doesn't have a line. He's in the background. He's nobody you would ever remember. It's just because he is now Jack Black. And I watched this movie after he had become Jack Black, and I went, that's Jack Black. That's Jack Black in the background. He's an extra. He may have gotten cast in that. He may have gone through the whole process of auditioning. Sometimes there's small roles that, you know, may or may not have a line, or you may be a featured whatever. and you get cut out of the movie and all you see is a blip. I've been in that position, but essentially he's an extra. That happens in all kinds of movies. If you go through, sometimes you'll see an extra's face that you recognize and you don't realize, oh, that's so-and-so. That's somebody who's now a regular TV star or movie, regular working actor, whatever. So, no, that's not a rule. That's not a – the universe doesn't work that way. But, yeah, sometimes it does.
Yeah, my argument's going to be it's just evolution. If you do enough extra work, you're not going to want to do extra work very much. It's brutal. It's awful. The first time I did it was kind of inspiring. I was, number one, I think in high school or early college or something like that. So I had the energy, and it was my first, like, serious film. I was just an extra, but you know what I mean? At the time, I was like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, on a movie set. And it was cool to see, this was the Fighting Temptations, actually. So it was Cuba Gooding Jr. and Beyonce and stuff. And it was cool to, and Rue McClanahan. I have a good Rue McClanahan story one day. Anyway, it was cool to, like, see those people in person and to see the chairs and to see the camera and to see how the set runs. Yeah. Like, all that was education. It was the first time I did it. It was not cool to sit out in the tent, in the mud, in the rain. And it was not cool to take home, like, $150 at the end of 12, 16 hours, whatever.
Grueling, something miserable stupid like hours. That. Yeah. And you're not.
So you're going to want to get out of that pretty quick.
Yeah, go do it. Go do it. If you've got a day or three to just, you know, go make very little money for being furniture, please go do it. You will learn something if you've never done it before. But Jeff.
But once you've learned it, get out.
Yeah, Jeff's absolutely right. You're not going to. If you do learn something from it and you do progress, don't just stick there. Don't stay mired in the muck of background work.
Reading the Two Towers in a prison uniform. That's what I was doing.
And also, go watch Ricky Gervais' at the investment. Series extras.
Right. You're looking at the investment in your future, right? The $150, $200, whatever, the college money that you're going to make on that day or that weekend shoot, you're like, oh, I really need the money. I should pick up this extra work. You know, because I need the money and it's film work. It's in my field, right? You know what? If you think about it from a long-term perspective, you know, you go do it a couple times to learn, just like Ben and I were saying. And then you say, yes, but what's my time really worth? And if instead I put that same amount of time working on my submissions to agencies where I can net, you know, four-digit gigs for the same hour, hours, whatever. Mm-hmm. Doing workshops or meeting people, the things that are ultimately going to pay out real dividends and really get you somewhere, that is a better use of your time in the long term than the immediate money that's coming. One of the two philosophies, it's like you can look at it like an accountant or like an economist. An accountant, the balance sheet has to be, you know, you have to be in the black at the end of the day.
In the black.
Right? My expenses and my revenue, you know, I've made money this day, or I've at least not lost any money. An economist says, you know what? I'm going to lose money sometimes. I'm going to make money sometimes. As long as the long-term trend is an increase, it's okay.
Yeah. And
that's my opinion on that.
Yeah. And as far as – I'm going to go to the exact language of this question because I think it's very important because I've heard it over and over and over again. I have heard that if you do too much extra work, well, is there such a thing as too much extra work? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, there is.
So that's part one.
There's an answer to that. You get labeled as an extra. Okay. Yes and no. One, the people who are going to label you as an extra are the people who work with the extras and the people who hire the extras. These are PAs. These are extra casting. So they just cast background casting.
Have we mentioned that, by the way, that there's a whole division of casting that's just extras casting?
No, not really. And that's probably another topic.
Another day, yeah. But that exists.
In LA, there's an actual... Like, it's a whole department, and it's a whole department for the city of Los Angeles. It's called – I'm sorry, Jeff was waving at me.
I was just saying here as well. Oh, okay. Here as well. There's just dedicated.
Well, here it's called Central Casting, and that's just what it is. It's Central Casting. So direct out of central casting is not just a ridiculous thing that they came up with. There's a thing called central casting. And if you're direct out of central casting, that's because your background, you just look like, hey, we need bald fat guy to hold the pizza. Hey, we need skinny geeky guy to stand in the background of the bookshop. You know, that's what that is. So you can get labeled as an extra by those people. Will you get labeled as an extra by the people that really you should be concerned about? No, because they're not really going to pay attention to you. You're not on their radar as an extra. You're on no one's radar except the people who'd work directly with you. PAs, that's production assistants, and central casting are extras casting. What's it called in Atlanta? There's a couple of different...
There's a couple places. There's extras casting Atlanta. Yeah. There's a few. I can't remember the name of all them because I've not really worked with them. And the one I did work with, I don't know that.
But I will tell you this: I've worked with them. I've had conversations over the phone. I've met them in person, and not a one of them remembers me. Not a one. they hire you. You're useful. If you're not useful, they forget about you because they got to find somebody else.
I don't remember your experience with any extra work, but I remember mine being sort of a matter of I was not necessarily keeping my head down. But I wasn't eager to like be the guy that when an opportunity would come up to be like, oh, someone take this line. I wasn't eager to be that guy. I was like, I'm learning. I want to see what's going on. Whereas this guy takes this line. He's under five. He suddenly has to go join SAG and like it's over. You know what I mean?
My experience was solely in Atlanta. I've done no extra work out here and I won't do extra work out here because that's a decision I made in Atlanta. For me personally, I know people who I respect who will do extra work. They don't particularly like to, but they'll do it. I won't do it because I made that decision personally for myself. It makes me miserable, and I'm not going to do that to myself. So my experience out there was I'm going to just pat myself on the back. I'm going to actively, within our podcast, do something that advocates for me as an actor, and this has mostly just to do with type and presence and essence. I'd get hired to do extra work. I'd get on set, and I was almost always the first one that got put like in the foreground. It's always one that got picked out to be featured. If there was potential for lines to be given out, I was one of the ones that could potentially get a line. Now I'm going to say that's because I was there. I was present. I was very obviously alert, paying attention and willing to do the work. And I looked and was competent. So I got those opportunities. Where did they get me? You'll never see my face in any film that I worked as an extra on. Never. I've watched all of them. You don't even see my face. Most of the time, they block it that way. You're not there to be seen. You're there to be background noise. You're there to make it look realistic while the people who are getting paid the big bucks are in the foreground.
Don't worry so much, maybe.
Say what?
Don't worry so much, maybe.
Yeah.
About all that.
Don't. It's really more about what are you spending your time doing.
Yeah. What about this last part, Ben? What about and can't progress any further?
That's never true. You can always progress further.
I don't know, Ben, but you know what? No one knows. Let's be real blunt and honest about this. No one knows who you are.
Yeah.
That's true with me. That's true with you. That's true with most of the people that sort of work at the level that we work at. No one in any real, real sense knows who you
are.
We're
not talking about this isn't philosophy. We're talking about no one who you would want to know who you are, Jeffrey, and who I am, knows who we are.
That would be a barrier to entry, you know. So go do the extra work, go learn it. Don't worry about them remembering your face, recognizing. Don't worry about getting labeled and all that kind of stuff. Because number one, you're not going to want to do that work for very long. Number two, the people that label you, they're not going to label you because they're going to forget because they see their job is to see thousands of people in groups of hundreds at a time. And if you just keep on the track and just keep learning and keep growing and keep looking for work, when it comes time for people that are in positions to grant you jobs, like casting directors, to know you, that will come, and they will know you through the auditions that they called you in the room for. They're not going to care that you did extra work. You don't even need to list it. Don't list it. Just
no.
Just move forward.
Never.
Go get the experience. Don't list extra work.
No.
Learn it. Drop the evidence and run. Consider extra work like going to school.
Yeah.
Like film boot camp.
Yeah. Yes. I'd say that is a very accurate description of what extra work, and even sometimes stand-in work, which is a whole other thing and actually a level up from
right.
background work.
Right.
That's what that's for us.
But do you want to stay in school or do you want to work?
Yeah. You want to graduate. Yeah. Graduation day. Yeah. That was my version of being...
I don't know. I hear that Vitamin C song. It's meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. When I don't know words, I just say meow. Well, we're disintegrating quickly. I think we ought to wrap up. First, we ought to say thanks to Nolan at nolan-martin.com for our first batch of listener questions. As we're sort of going out here at the end of this season, Ben, I think we kind of addressed this once, but a lot of times we've said, I've asked you, you know, have you advocated for yourself? And you talked a little bit about Dallas Travers. Can you give me like a short kind of condensed version of what the heck does that mean when I keep asking you that question of how have you advocated for your acting career, or when you throw it back at me and you ask how have I advocated for that? Little baby history of where did that come from in our last minute or so here?
So that's something very specific to my experience with Dallas Travers. That's not like in a class or anything. That is a question that I had going into one of the classes that I took with her. I asked very specifically Dallas, because this is a problem that I have with myself. I'm a huge advocate of other people, and I sometimes don't advocate enough for myself. How do I advocate for myself? Was the question I asked Alice, and she said, "Well, here's how you do it: you get your buddy, your check-in buddy, and every day when you talk to them, they need to ask you that question: how did you advocate for yourself today, or how did you advocate for yourself yesterday?" And I'd have to have an answer. So it's something very specific to my experience in that class.
I did not know that. I thought that was a general philosophy thing of the class itself. That's really cool. That means she's a lot of individual attention.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very cool. And that was the question that sort of kicked off this entire podcast series, Ben, was you getting a little introspective and trying to figure out, you know, that wrestling with that question.
Well, I think it's...
So I would say...
I think it's a... Yeah. I don't think that I'm the only person in the world that does that. You know, I'm not a special,
hell no.
Unique
right.
snowflake. And it can be phrased in a lot of different ways, you know. I'm not going to try to list them all because you figure it out, listener.
Right.
But it is... Yes, the class did... I think everyone kind of came away with their own little set of things that they need to do for themselves. Their little picadillos, the little things that they get themselves in trouble with, the little blocks that they can't get quite past. So that is what I took away. Go check out Dallas Travers and see what you can take away from one of her classes.
So if you are nolan-martin.com, I would say that you advocated for yourself by asking 5 really good questions and... you got a bonus week of advocating for yourself and your acting career by hopefully listening to this show. I think this is a good question, actors, that we can ask ourselves every week, every month, whatever is right for you. What have I done today to advocate for myself or my acting career? And you can ask those questions to yourself every week with us by checking in with this podcast if you like. Or you can advocate for yourself in whatever way that, you know, you seem fit. But
I would
it's
love
a great idea to mentally stay on top of what you're doing.
Yeah, what are you doing for yourself? And I would love it. I would absolutely love it if some of our listeners, if all of our listeners, wrote us about how they've advocated for themselves.
All right, Ben, this is about the end of this season. For the listeners, we should let them know that we're going to take a little break. And then we're going to come back and we'll make sure we give everyone a nice big fat heads up before we return.
What he means is we're going to take a little break between season one and season two. Not, we're going to take a little break, and you should just hang out and listen, because in a minute and a half,
you should just wait.
The podcast will continue. No.
Well, okay. Hey, that is it for us for this season. We'll be back next season with all kinds of new stuff. This is the Bicoastal Actor. If you like this show, please rate it on iTunes. And if you did not like this show, then go over to polarpodcast.com, refresh it obsessively every day until we post some sort of show that you do like. Until then, Benjamin.
Jeffrey.
I have been, and I always shall be, your friend, your amigo, your compadre, your the red beans to your eyes. The salsa to your chorizo. The inappropriate metaphor to your uncomfortable analogy.
The jalapeno to-